Welcome to the Somebody Died For You podcast. My name is Corey Peters. In this podcast, you'll hear real stories from a guy learning how to follow God's voice. I'm not a professional radio voice. I'm a teacher. I'm a coach. Several years ago, God woke me up from my passive state to get me into the game, so to speak. Jesus said he would send his disciples out as sheep among wolves. I spent too much time being a sheep among sheep. Before I share two wonderful stories about a kid who was ridiculed in school and a little girl who ran up to me with the filthiest, most beautiful doll I had ever seen, the Lord wanted me to share something with you. He gave me the title to this podcast, which is also the name of the nonprofit ministry he directed me to start, but it isn't just a name. It's something we need to hear. I just read an article the other day that said the United States is suffering from a hopelessness epidemic. People are confused. People are depressed. People are committing suicide at an alarming rates in all populations. Do you know what I have to say to that? Somebody died for you. Did you hear that? Come back and listen to the front end of the podcast. Let him speak to you. Somebody died for you. Somebody laid down his life for you. He loved you more than you could ever fathom. You are not a blip on a computer screen. You are not just a bunch of atoms floating around without purpose. No, you are a masterpiece. Ephesians 2 verse 10 in the Living Translation says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." That is truth. He said it. When you think on that and let those words sink in, they change things. I'm an example of that. Just like you needed repetition when learning how to read or learning how to walk, his living word needs repetition in to do its work in your life. So one more time, your life has great worth and you are his masterpiece. He has great things planned for you. I mean that. And finally, somebody died for you, and his name is Jesus Christ. Listen to this, speak this over and over again, and watch hopelessness vanish. Watch his hope come. Watch his joy come. And watch his life come. Like I said in the beginning, I've been a teacher for 15 years. I'd like to share a story about a former student. I'll call him Ryan. Ryan loved Jesus from the moment I met him. He had a smile to prove it. He had joy all over him. He wanted others to know Jesus, and some might say as at a fault. He would tell classmates about Jesus whether they didn't want to listen. He once turned an older popular song into a song about Jesus. I would watch him walk up to someone during an outdoor lunch break and ask them if they would like to hear his Jesus rap. They would yell no at him. Most students were annoyed with him. He didn't have real nice clothes. At some times, his jeans sat a little too high from his most recent growth spurt. Sometimes when the students would yell no, they would either get up to leave or other students would join them to ridicule him. He would look right back at them with a joy only Jesus could provide. He looked at them like he was standing on the stage at Madison Square Garden. He would start rapping. They would either sit with a disgusted look on their face, joined with their friends, or they'd walk away. Ryan's smile wouldn't be changed. His joy couldn't be changed. It couldn't be shaken. He would smile and keep sharing Jesus with the students. When he finished, he would look up with a large smile and smile at me, undaunted and unpenetrated by the onslaught of insults. He wanted them to know Jesus. I'm not sure who was learning more by watching this unfold day after day. I know I learned so much about my ever-so-precious comfort zone, the comfort zone that I try to protect at all costs. Unfortunately, this type of ridicule didn't just stop there. He was a target often, but he would forgive just as quick. He would also love to go out for sports. Many students on his team would consider him the worst player. I happened to be one of his eighth grade football coaches. After a rather hard practice, we entered the conditioning phase. No one was looking forward to this. I told the team that we had 8 110-yard sprints with a 30-second break after each one. I called our punter out. I said, unless I get a volunteer to attempt to catch a punt from our punter. I followed this up by saying, I want someone who doesn't catch punts regularly. Who would like to take this opportunity to catch one punt and erase all of the conditioning? No one raises their hand. No one wanted the pressure. Then, just all of a sudden, a hand raised with all the confidence in the world. I looked quickly, wondering who would shoulder such pressure to stand in front of their team. You guessed it, it was Ryan. Once the team saw who it was, they all shuddered in disgust and doubt and moaned and groaned. Ryan stood there with his hand raised as confident as he could be. I wasn't sure what to do. I said, "Okay, Ryan, step out." He stepped out in front of his whole team. Not one of his 50 teammates thought he had even the slightest chance. I really didn't either. I thought I was really setting him up for failure. I threw our punter a ball. He sent the first punt in the air. It went high, but it went the wrong way. Ryan just stood in the middle and watched it hit the sideline. I said, "Well, let's give it one more try." That one wasn't really a fair opportunity for him to catch it. I threw our punter the next ball. In my mind, I was making a huge mistake as a coach. Our punter shook his head. He raised the brown leather football out from his body and stepped into it to kick it. Once again, it was a great punt. It went really high. It went right toward Ryan. He didn't flinch. He didn't move his feet either. He raised both arms straight above his helmet. He didn't back up to catch it in front of him. He just raised them up in front of the helmet. No one was making a sound. Smack! I looked at Ryan. He trapped the ball with both forearms above his helmet. It qualified as a catch. In all my years, I've never witnessed a catch like this. In unison, the whole team started throwing their helmets in the air. They threw their pads in the air. They ran towards their new hero, Ryan. This boy, who was an easy target for many insults in the blink of an eye, was now a hero. They piled on him. I'm certain he never experienced anything close to this. They are screaming his name, slapping him on the back, hugging him, picking him up and shaking him in the air. I let it go for a moment and then blew the whistle. Ryan was the last one in our circle, in our huddle. I had him break out. The team was chanting his name. He stood and he high-fived every player until he was just the last one standing there. I looked at him. He turned. He looked at me. And he just broke down crying. To be honest, I had some tears too. He ran up to me and he hugged me so tight. I told him I was proud of him. He still, through it all, was holding on to that football. Wow, what a God we serve. What a moment. You know something? I haven't shared that story much at all over the last several years. My family and I were driving to Arizona from Iowa over spring break. I asked my son to take a note and write this down for my next podcast. You know, I was asking the Lord if there was a message I could share following this story. Because after all, he likes to teach us through experiences also. Some of you might feel like you're in Ryan's place, just kind of out of place. Feeling like everyone is out to get you, feeling misunderstood. I think the Lord wants you to know to just keep going. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. Keep remembering, like I said in the beginning, you are his masterpiece. And always remember, somebody died for you. Story number two. Several years ago, we were walking around in an area with several apartment buildings in a group. Sometimes God loves us through children. Every once in a while, a child will see Jesus in us. As I was approaching an apartment, a little girl came running toward me with a doll flopping by her side. It was like she was being reunited with a father serving in our military overseas. The only problem was, I never met this little girl, but she was running full tilt towards me. I knelt down, and she ran into my arms. After a long but much-needed hug from Jesus in the form of a 3-year-old little girl, she stepped back. I looked up and saw her mother looking confused at what she just witnessed. The doll she was holding had no clothing. It was probably the most filthy doll I have ever seen. Midsection of this doll, colored white at one time, was now completely filled with dirt and soot. The arms, once new, now barely hanging on. This beautiful little girl held this doll up to my face. She said, "Isn't she beautiful?" Someone drew brown eyebrows on this doll. With a large, "I have the greatest gift in the world" smile, she rotated the doll's face to the other side and pointed at the doll's cheek. At the end of her finger was a yellow star that an adult drew on the cheek of the doll to dress it up. She exclaimed on her tiptoes, looking right into my eyes, "Isn't she the most beautiful doll?" I picked the doll from her outstretched arms and looked it over. I said, "I do think this is the most beautiful doll I have ever seen." Once again, her arms wrapped around my neck and squeezed tightly. I stood up and walked with her. She marched proudly with her doll in one hand and my hand in the other to greet her mom. Her mother had a bewildered look on her face. She apologized. I told her there's no need to, and I told her why we were there. She gladly took the groceries. We all held hands and prayed together. We handed the bag of groceries over to her mom and started walking away. I can still see my new friend smiling and waving to me, doll in hand, as we walked away. Unfortunately, we found out not too long after our meeting that this younger girl was killed from abuse. Looking back now, I'm not sure who needed that hug more, me or her. I'm guessing I did for sure. Not a month goes by without me reliving that moment or asking God a question or two about that encounter. The lesson for me goes a little deeper than the doll being someone's trash and another's treasure. I think right now the lesson goes to people. I think many of us can see our dirt and our scars as irredeemable. We carry our hurts and our scars as heavy weights. We judge ourselves through our outward appearance. Are we too heavy? Are we too light? Too muscular? Too flabby? We see ourselves much like most people would see that doll. Worth nothing more than to be thrown into the trash. We have to stop looking at ourselves and others in that way. Thankfully, God doesn't look at us that way. But God revealed His heart for us through this little girl and her life cut way too short. He is taking us just as we are. We can throw a brown eyebrow on or even a yellow star on our cheek, but He loves us. He just loves us. He's crazy about us. Crazy enough to run into the arms of a stranger, hugging that stranger like he was a long-lost father, holding us up, dirt and all, and displaying our muddy greatness for the world to see. Dear Papa, thank you for loving us. Right now, I pray that you give us eyes to see beyond our outward appearance. Help us to see ourselves through your eyes. No more put-downs. No more dirty looks and sighs in the mirror. Help us to declare to ourselves that we are your masterpiece. Erase the scars and labels, whether placed on us by ourselves or others, those to fall away like chains on the floor. Help us to walk with the freedom that Jesus came to purchase. In Jesus' name, amen. We don't know the circumstances that kids live in. We are bringing hope to them in Jesus' name. What we do know is that Jesus loves them. He loves us. In the midst of hopelessness, He sends us. Armed with His love, His hope, and His joy, we provide Bibles, basketballs, groceries, shoes, socks, underwear, and lots of hugs. Being a teacher and a coach, the summer is when I travel, and I need your help to get there. This summer, we will be bringing His love to many. In addition to Eastern Iowa, we plan on visiting Harvey, Roseland, and the South Chicago area. And I love to bless ministries who love well in these areas. And for the first time, I believe God is calling me to visit McDowell County in West Virginia. Never been there before. So would you consider praying for our team and or giving even a small or large gift? Please visit somebodydiedforyou.com to donate. All deductions are tax deductible. Also, if you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave a positive comment and a review or share with a friend. Stick around and listen to this week's prayer requests and praise reports. And please click subscribe to hear when new shows come out. And never forget, somebody died for you, and his name is Jesus Christ.
Hi, Corey. It's Michelle, your wife. I'm calling with a prayer request from a teacher friend of mine. She is asking for prayers for all the kids heading into summer who may be anxious about leaving the comfort of school, their teachers, breakfast, lunch, air conditioning, nurses, and just supervision and friends at school. So thanks for praying, everybody.